Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. On this episode, we have in-depth coverage on the Miranda's Rescue discussion at the Humboldt Board of Supervisors meeting, a serious threat for Mendocino grape growers, and potential energy rate increases for Humboldt residents. But up next, a quick rundown of local headlines. This is KMUD News. Starting off with an election update from the Humboldt County Office of Elections. Humboldt County Registrar of Voters Juan Pablo Cervantes and the Humboldt County Office of Elections is committed to keeping voters informed about ballot processing and election results reporting for the June 2nd statewide direct primary election and is providing the following update. There were 84,944 registered voters in Humboldt County who were mailed ballots for the election on June 2nd. Out of these ballots, as of midday on Thursday, June 4th, the elections office has received and processed 19,370 ballots and has approximately 21,151 ballots left to process. In terms of ballot type, remaining unprocessed ballots, 286 are listed as provisional, 20,823 are vote-by-mail ballots, and 42 remaining ballots are from voting locations. Election result updates will be released twice a week, beginning Friday, June 5th at 5 p.m. Additional updates are anticipated to be released around 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday each week until the election is certified. The election's canvas period began Thursday, June 4th, and provides a 30-day window after Election Day to ensure all legal votes are counted accurately. During this time, the elections office verifies voter eligibility, confirms mail-in ballot signatures, processes provisional and conditional ballots, and conducts the manual tally of 1% of all precincts. All valid vote-by-mail ballots will be counted regardless of the outcome or closeness of any race if they are postmarked by Tuesday, June 2nd and arrive by Tuesday, June 9th. For more information on ballot processing or election results reporting, please contact the Humboldt County Office of Elections at 707-445-7481. In Mendocino news, the City of Ukiah hosted a public scoping meeting on June 1st as part of an environmental review process provided by the California Environmental Quality Act for the proposed Ukiah 2026 reorganization project, which includes annexation of certain unincorporated areas within the city's sphere of influence and related service boundary changes. The meeting, held at the Ukiah Valley Conference Center, was facilitated by Matt Maddox, principal at Rincon Consultants, the environmental consulting firm preparing the project's supplemental environmental impact report. Attendees offered comments and questions on a variety of topics. While many comments reflected broader opinions regarding annexation and local governance, the city also received input relevant to the environmental review process. The environmental review will build upon the environmental impact report previously certified for the Ukiah 2040 general plan. The supplemental analysis focuses on specific actions associated with annexation, district detachment, and reorganization, along with pre-zoning of annexed territory. Additional information about the proposed annexation project, including how to submit comments to the city, is available at the City of Ukiah's annexation webpage at cityofukiah.com/annexation. In Eureka news, the Humboldt County Department of Public Works is preparing for construction work on Myrtle Avenue beginning on Monday, June 15th through mid-August. The portion of Myrtle Avenue between Hall Avenue and Freshwater Road will be under one-way traffic control on weekdays from 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Motorists should expect delays of more than 15 minutes. Construction will involve removing and replacing asphalt surfacing, as well as completing drainage improvements. Commuters are asked to follow all traffic control devices and signs within the construction area and allow for extra travel time when possible. If you have any concerns or questions regarding this project, please call 707-445-7448. And now to our main stories. This is KMUD News. Many speakers voiced strong views on the Miranda's Rescue case during the public comment period of this week's Humboldt County Board of Supervisors meeting. Daniel Mintz reports.
Demands for action against Shannon Miranda, whose animal rescue operation is being investigated by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, were voiced to the Board of Supervisors during a lengthy public comment period that also included some defenders of him. Though a minority of speakers warned against prejudging Miranda, many described him as a charlatan with a profit motive. Miranda's shelter, Miranda's Rescue, has been a community fixture for 25 years, and during that time, Miranda was honored by the State Assembly and the Red Cross. But allegations that he took in animals on a paid basis and killed them, reaping profit in the process, date as far back as 2014. At that time, the Lost Coast Outpost did a deep dive into the accusations and labeled them as a, quote, smear campaign in a headline. But now the sheriff's office is in the midst of an investigation and in a statement says it, quote, remains committed to pursuing every available lead. Instrumental to the probe's initiation was Jennifer Raymond, who told supervisors immediate action needs to be taken.
I'm one of the people who dug 8 dead dogs out of the mass grave on Shannon Miranda's property. I know how those dogs died. They had holes in their heads. I am very concerned about the remaining animals in Shannon Miranda's that are being left in his under his control. This is a man who has admitted to shooting dogs, admitted to lying about the fact that his rescue is not a no-kill. When a raid is done with allegations of child abuse, the children are removed from the home. When stolen property is recovered in a raid, the stolen property is removed. When illegal drugs are found during a raid, they are removed. Why were these animals not removed?
Jenna Moore, whose trail camera was used to record Miranda's actions, said, quote, for more than 20 years, members of this community raised concerns, filed complaints, shared stories, and sounded alarms regarding Miranda's rescue. She said she resorted to using the camera because of non-response to calls for action and, quote, this case has exposed major gaps in our system. Other speakers also said they've been voicing unheeded concerns about Miranda's rescue, and one called him, quote, the worst kind of human. The investigation includes Miranda's intake of animals from an Oakland-based shelter, and Lisa Tui, a Bay Area vet tech, said she's familiar with one of the dead dogs Raymond video recorded.
I'm here today simply because I care. When the story broke, I felt so much pain for the loss of all the dogs that were sent from Oakland and not knowing where they are. I spoke with a friend of mine who works at Berkeley Animal Services about Charmaine, who is one of the dogs that was found in the pit. And I know that she was a friendly dog. She was not an aggressive dog. She was not a bite risk. She was only a year and a half old. They sent her up here thinking she would stand a better chance as a big, rambunctious dog to maybe find a place with more land that she could live. They loved her, and they thought she was getting a chance. I'm all for fairness and investigation. I'm only up here asking that pressure be put on to run a thorough, fair investigation of Mr. Miranda. I want to know where the dogs are. I want to know where these Oakland dogs are, who came up here and trusted, and the volunteers that trusted, and the staff that trusted. I just want to know where they are.
Other speakers called for enforcement on Miranda's Rescue County permit, which the Times-Standard recently reported to be out of compliance. but two speakers spoke in support of Miranda's rescue. Debbie Scheffler, a former Miranda's Rescue board president, said Miranda is, quote, an upstanding person, end quote, I have never, ever seen anything that would have made me think that anything was wrong. Hillary Graham described her experience with Miranda and warned against prejudgment.
I've lived in Humboldt County most of my life. I've known Shannon Miranda for nearly all of his life, since he was a young teenager, and I have watched him dedicate every single day of his adulthood to save animals. Not dozens, not hundreds, but thousands. Animals who would not be alive today if not for him. And what is happening to him right now is nothing short of a lynch mob. A rush to judgment, fueled by misinformation, fueled by personal grudges, and fueled by people who should know better. Anyone who claims to love dogs, yet wants to shut down a rescue with no charges filed, needs to understand the consequences. Those dogs will not magically find homes. They will end up dead, and that is the reality.
When the public comment period ended, Board Chair Mike Wilson explained that, quote, none of this is to be discussed by the board at this time because it's a non-agendized item. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Mendocino County and other grape-growing regions across California are under threat due to recalled grapevines sold at Costco locations, KMUD News reports. There is a serious emergency right now for Mendocino grape farmers. The county's grape growers are being hit by the possible spread of Pierce's disease, which is spread by the glassy-winged sharpshooter. It's an emergency that could greatly harm an already economically devastated wine industry in the region. The risk originated from recalled grapevine plants at Costco's throughout California, related to shipments from a nursery in Fresno. The potentially infected grapevines were sold at Costco stores, including in Mendocino and Humboldt County, for over a month, and early samples in Sonoma have already tested positive for the glassy-winged sharpshooter, with Mendocino likely to be in a similar situation. When glassy-winged sharpshooters feast on grapevines, they spread Pierce's disease, which blocks the vine from accessing water, eventually killing it. There's a potential threat of mass die-offs in Mendocino vineyards due to the recalled Costco grapevines, and there is no cure once a vine is infected. The only remedy is removing infected vines as quickly as possible. We turn to this week's Mendocino Board of Supervisors meeting, where Mendocino County Agricultural Commissioner Angela Godwin spoke on the severity of Pierce's disease's threat to Mendocino grape growers and how Mendocino County is handling the issue, including active testing.
Angela Godwin, Ag Commissioner here, Chair Novell, Honorable Board Members, Assistant CEO Pierce, and County Council Elliott. I just want to give you a very brief update on the what's become known as the Costco grapevine shipment or the Costco GWIS issue. Put it out front right now, no GWIS life stages have been confirmed yet, but we have several samples pending that look very, very much likely to be the glassy-winged sharpshooter. We call it GWIS. We've had a situation where a nursery called Burchell's in Fresno shipped, looks like about a 13,100 plants to the non-infested areas of California through Costco. The shipment started April 21st, and it wasn't detected till May 19th. So the window we're looking at plants was from almost over a month, April 19th to May 21st. Mendocino County, along with other ag commissioners in multiple non-infested counties, 21 to be exact, have launched emergency efforts to identify nursery plants shipped to Costco. I want to state that Costco has, in general, been a great partner as far as resolving this. It was actually a Costco employee in Sonoma County that notified the Ag Department there that these shipments were coming in not properly labeled in their blue tag, which calls for us to inspect. And then when the Sonoma inspector promptly went out, they found all three life stages, viable egg masses, nymphs, and adults. And this is a real tragedy because for over 25 years since Pierce disease, which is backing up a little bit, that is the issue with these glass-eyed sharpshooters. We have a native version that's a very weak flyer, and we do have some small pockets I've heard of Pierce disease, but they're much more easily dealt with and eradicated. Pierce disease is fatal to grapevines, and it does affect other crops, but specifically grapevines, it just kills them. So we've been fighting this, it's slowly been creeping up the state, but this is a massive risk that's approaching our grapevine industry, our grape industry. There was a meeting last Friday with the industry. Again, really concerned because there was a total of 160 plants that went out from the Ukiah here, just the grapevines. There were some other plants mixed in that could possibly have some life stages on there. And we have located approximately 14 of them, 14 trace forwards. So again, this is a real emergency. We're shifting our staff as best we can. We're reaching out to the public. Costco has sent out an email. They're supposed to send another email out to let people know they're going to refund them, to call us immediately. Costco has not provided the Ag Department or the state Ag Department with members' actual addresses at purchases. They have a great system with the whole membership thing. They know where the plants at least started out. We found that some went up to, apparently our Ukiah Costco is quite popular. We had people coming down from Benbow, Oregon, coming in from Lake County, Cloverdale from Sonoma. So, you know, it unfortunately went on for a month. So we are now working with the public to locate and destroy these infested plants. Like I said, it was 15 trace forward calls. So those people have been very generous. And let us come out, let us know. We're taking proactive measures on all the ones we found little nymphs. They're being analyzed by CDFA's entomology. We've placed additional traps. We're treating this situation with the highest level of attention because it's a very serious threat to our wine grape industry, which really can't afford to take any massive hit like this.
We'll keep track of the threat of Pierce's disease to Mendocino County grape growers as testing results come back and as the disease possibly spreads in vineyards across the county. Mendocino residents who purchase potentially infected grapevines at Costco and Ukiah are asked to do the following. Keep the plant isolated in its original container and do not plant it if you have not already done so. Contact the Mendocino County Agricultural Commissioner's Office immediately at 707-234-6830 or email agcommagcom@mendocinocounty.gov for inspection and guidance. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. The Redwood Coast Energy Authority is dealing with serious budgetary problems. KMUD News reports. Customers of Humboldt's Redwood Coast Energy Authority may be seeing rate increases in the near future. At this week's Redwood Coast Energy Authority meeting, a variety of proposals were considered to deal with the authority's budget issues without a large amount of the cost being passed on to consumers. We begin with Business and Planning Finance Director Lori Bandini on a potential $9.3 million operating loss for the Redwood Coast Energy Authority.
To guide the conversation, we consider this initial draft that was attached to the staff report, what would be needed to maintain our current level of service, so it has a similar amount of programs that we've been offering that are CCA funded. It does include all of the positions in the org chart that was recently approved, including the internally funded positions, and that would include the Director of Engagement and Regional Climate Planning, and allows us to have some funding for strategic plan update, which has been on our radar since I joined and has been part of the ask of me to get that underway. So that is in the budget that's attached to the staff report. Unfortunately, that leaves us at a $9.3 million operating loss for the year. So we do want to look at this on a big picture basis and think about this balance of us being able to be well-resourced to do the work we need to do, and that's really important to deliver on our mission and for our community and for the value of the organization, sort of our value proposition in the community, and also want to balance that with fiscal responsibility.
Redwood Coast Energy Authority Finance Director Lori Bandini then spoke on a possible rate increase to make up for budget issues, including rate increases of up to 5%.
And we could consider a rate increase in quarter one. So there is some lag time. So if we adopt the budget next month, for example, the rate increase might lag a little bit, but we'd still be shooting for Q1 of the fiscal year. We could look at that up to 5%. Some of the benefits of that is it helps us test the waters if we were in that 3 to 5% range. We've actually never had a cost premium on PG&E. I think it's certainly not ideal to do that, but also we don't really know what happens if we try in terms of opt-out consequences, and we would, with a smaller increase, we would have the opportunity to have those conversations with folks as they call in. We'd kind of get a feel for how it's being received. And then we could also, continue to revise and just make some minor adjustments to staffing and programs proposal as needed to kind of balance all of that out, but we would still be funding the core of it, which is to have those programs and make sure that they're not missing from our activities, and including staffing the director position. And then any considerations for portfolio changes, especially because those savings would be speculative in terms of renewable standards, I think we could consider that only if we're finding ourselves below that $26 million cash on hand, and only if we have, a better sense at mid-year that they would even be valuable. I think right now it's just too speculative to know that there's a whole lot of value coming out of that choice. But that's something we could, revisit come mid-year and really use that time as a tool to, kind of better understand, what's going to happen for the remainder of the year.
As energy production costs continue to rise, costs will likely rise for energy users across Humboldt County. We'll keep track if any rate increase is finalized for the Redwood Coast Energy Authority. Up next, we have a story from Suzanne Potter on potential funding cuts impacting California's seniors.
Lawmakers in Sacramento are considering a range of cuts to programs that serve older Californians as budget negotiations draw to a close. Governor Gavin Newsom's May revision of the budget would trim funds for in-home care. It would also make victims of elder abuse eligible for help at age 65 instead of 60. Karen Joy Fletcher with the nonprofit California Health Advocates says the state's rapidly aging population means we have to expand programs, not shrink them.
We need to raise more funds. One in four Californians will be over 60 in just 4 years by 2030. So we really need to keep these programs strong, and cutting is not the answer.
Legislators are also considering significantly lowering the asset test to previous extremely low levels for people who qualify for both Medi-Cal and Medicare, the so-called dual eligibles. That means people can only have $2,000 in savings and still qualify for Medi-Cal to pay their Medicare cost sharing. California is not facing a budget deficit right now, but lawmakers are bracing for a steep drop in federal funding. The California Health Foundation predicts the state could lose up to $30 billion a year once federal Medicaid cuts take full effect. Tatiana Fassiou, also with California Health Advocates, advises people who risk losing coverage to call their local representative of the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, or HICAP.
Don't succumb immediately to those questionable television commercials targeting dual eligibles. Call your local HICAP so that they can evaluate what best coverage would meet the Medicare beneficiaries' needs.
The legislature has until June 15th to pass a balanced budget. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Last for our broadcast, here are the latest alerts from Caltrans for local road conditions.
This is a Caltrans Sister Juan Road Information Bulletin for Humboldt County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 5th. On 36, expect up to 15-minute delays near Carlotta. Slide removal continues west to Grizzly Creek Redwood State Park. Check Caltrans Sister One social media for updates. Expect delays west of Maple Grove and at the Butte Creek Bridge. Expect up to 20-minute delays near Golden Gate Drive on the 8th. On 96, expect up to 10-minute delays north of Willow Creek and in Hoopaw from the Hostler Creek Bridge to Carpenter Lane. On 101, expect up to 10-minute delays north of the Mendocino County line. On 211, expect up to 15-minute delays weekdays at Fernbridge. On 254, expect delays north of Wyatt. On 255, expect nighttime delays in Arcata between F and K Streets. On 299, expect up to 10-minute delays from east of the Redwood Creek Bridge to west of Chesham Road. This is a Caltrans Sister One Road Information Bulletin for Lake of Mendocino County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 5th. In Lake County on 20, expect up to 10-minute delays in Lucerne from Grove Street to Ogden Road and 5-minute delays near Butler Street. On 175, expect delays south of Route 29 on the 9th and near Middletown. And in Mendocino County, on 1, expect delays in Point Arena from Scott's Place to south of Iverson Avenue. Expect up to 10-minute delays south of Elk. Expect up to 30-minute delays south of Westport at the Blues Beach Trailhead to Overlook. On 20, expect delays east of Fort Bragg and west of Willits. Expect delays from the Cold Creek Bridge to the Lake County line on the 10th and 11th. On 101, expect overnight delays in Hopland. On 162, expect up to 10-minute delays east of US 101. On 175, expect delays east of Hooper Ranch Road starting on the 8th. This is a Caltrans Sister One Road Information Bulletin for Del Norte County State Highways for the week beginning Friday, June 5th. On 101, expect delays in Klamath. Expect up to 15-minute delays north of Last Chance Grade. Expect up to 20-minute delays weekdays in Smith River from Rowdy Creek Road to east of Denny Lane. On 199, expect up to 10-minute delays near the Middle Fork Smith River Bridge. For further updates, join us on social media via Caltrans District 1.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Biana Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporter for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located in the unceded territory of the Tsingtaone, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.